Revelation chapter 20. I preached on this title probably 26, maybe 27 years ago when I came back from Russia and I had experienced what I did in Russia and on the trains that they put me on, something I'd never seen or experienced in my lifetime. And I titled that message using that thought, The Hellbound Train. When that Russian train would stop, I rode on it for 13 hours, and when it would stop, they would talk this Russian language, and that meant it probably stopped 30, 40 times in that 13 hours. They'd say something in Russian, and then people would get off, and more people would come on. And so every time he would say something in Russian, I'm looking at them Russian pastor and people I'm working with and going to support, wondering, do we get off here? No, niet. They kept, niet. That means no in Russian. It's the only word I know, niet. And then we'd go on again, and I thought, man, we got to be getting off here. Never experienced anything like it in my life, and don't really care to do it again. I really don't. But I preached a message that doesn't even come close to what this is and what God has given me on the hellbound train. Revelation chapter 20, and hold your place there. We want to pray. I want to give you a little opening statement. Then we'll read from Scripture. Heavenly Father, it's a privilege to be in your house. I thank you for the extension of the mission field in Bangladesh. What a blessing it is. So strengthens, encourage my heart to continue to give, to support, to intercede, to send, and to reach the unreached. I pray, God, now that you would anoint your servant. I've never needed you more now, Heavenly Father, than I need you now. I want to speak this, preach this from straight from your very throne of grace, that your appeal is to reach the unreached, to prepare the unprepared, save to the uttermost. I'll give you all the glory. Amen. Now let me introduce you to this before we read Scripture. Hold your place in Revelation chapter 20. From Revelation chapter 1, 2, and 3, if you study it at all, it's Jesus speaking to John on the Isle of Patmos concerning the seven churches, which apply from then until the rapture of the church. So those conditions and those church age will follow it and repeat itself through history until the rapture takes place. Chapters 1 through 3. Then from chapter 4 in Revelation, you find from chapter 4 to chapter 19, the church is not mentioned again. Why? Because the bride of Christ, the church, is with him from the 4th chapter to the 19th chapter. Now, this is what I believe and what I preach and teach in this church and pulpit. In that 4th chapter of Revelation, the church, the bride, the overcomers, very important to know that, they are raptured and they go up to be with him. Now, number 2, it is now the tribulation period begins. This tribulation will last for 7 years. And at the end of the tribulation, the 7 years, we find what the Bible calls the Battle of Armageddon. That Battle of Armageddon is where the Antichrist and his army is defeated by Christ and his soon in his return with his army, the bride of Christ, called his church. He will defeat the Antichrist and his army in that day of the end of the tribulation period. Number 3, after that happens, the Armageddon, the battle where the Antichrist, the false prophet, are cast into hell. Then the Bible is very clear that Satan now at the same time is bound for 1,000 years. And in that 1,000 years that he's bound, The returned church with Christ will rule with him and rule with him for 1,000 years called the millennium. In that 1,000-year period, everything will be restored to what it was in the beginning. The church will rule and reign with Christ 1,000-year millennium. Everything restored in the very beginning. And we'll go into all the depth of it. The animals were subject to humans, totally in submission and obedience. The fall of Adam and Eve put that animal to be in an animal. During the 1,000-year millennium, it'll be restored. That rattlesnake will wonder why he doesn't bite you or poison, kill you. He cannot. He will not. It's all restored. After the 1,000-year millennium, Satan is loosed again for a short time in Revelation 20, verse 7 through 9. Very clear how it happens. Now, I want to read this morning from the 10th Revelation 20, verse 10. We know from 7 through 9, Satan is released again on this earth. But look at verse 10 with me, please. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. That means they're already there. And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. When? After the 1,000-year millennium. Now you have the great white throne judgment. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Those that have threw their ashes in the ocean because they loved the ocean all their life. And when they died, they cremated them, threw their ashes out there. Men and women have drowned, died in the oceans and the seas. And their crumbs, their dust, the sands of that sea, their bodies still there. God resurrects them at that day. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast where? I hope you're reading with me. Cast into the lake of fire. Two more verses. Chapter 21, verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Verse 8, but the fearful, the cowardly, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, sexually impure, immoral, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part where? In the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is what? The second death. That's eternal hell where Satan is cast. Now, I want to walk us through some things this morning as we lead up in this thought. First of all, We must know if there is a heaven, then there must be a hell. I know, saints, it's not popular, especially in this 21st century, to even say there is a hell, much less to say multiplied millions are there while I'm preaching this message. Freedom of speech today is, I will tell you what to say. That includes the pulpit. There's an antichrist spirit that has been unleashed in this nation and on the nations of this earth that beggars description. That spirit has drove a division in our nation that our America has probably not known since the Civil War. There is a division in our nation and a growling, a barking, a lying, a destroying of character, person. The division beggars description. I'm not here to pick a side other than to tell you that spirit is antichrist. That spirit will produce an antichrist. You mark that down. Everything is in today's freedom of speech is to control your speech. That'll come when the Antichrist rules and reigns. We're just being conditioned for it. While they're being conditioned for it, there's another group being conditioned for another place. Hallelujah. I think you're with me. Millions more will end up in hell if somebody does not tell them of such a place and how to escape it. I want to do my best today to speak to you and anyone that may hear these messages. I want them to know I am not preaching this with some joyful sound that I'm glad that people are in hell and millions are yet to go there. I do not want that to come in my spirit of what I say. I speak to you today with all the love that I have and all the compassion that I have. Please know, you that are here and you that are tuning in, please know I'm not preaching this out of some anger issue at the lost that don't know God. I'm preaching this because, saints, there is a heaven, there is a hell, and only the Word of God can answer the question, who's going where? I'm on a rescue mission this morning to intercept you. If you're lost, you can be found. If you're the worst human on this earth, you can be saved. If you will listen and obey this preacher's words, I'm speaking to you by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Is there a place called hell? Question. To the destiny of the wicked is eternal separation from God. And that is eternal suffering of His wrath. Very clear the Word of God is to the born again, washed in the blood believer. I have not appointed you to wrath. Hell is the wrath of God. God loves the sinner. He hates sin. His judgment, His wrath is poured out on the sin. He has to judge sin, saints. If one is filled with sin, they have to be judged. Understand that. He put His Son, volunteered to go to a cross. A gulf was fixed. Ask the rich man in hell and the beggar Lazarus. There's a gulf fixed. Jesus Himself at Calvary bridged that gulf and said, you don't have to go there. You don't have to go to hell. I'm the way of salvation. I took your sin. I took your judgment upon me. And because he did, God said, that's my judgment. He took it all. So now, if I willfully sin, he has to judge the sin, which involves me. Am I making sense? He hates sin because he knows what sin done to our first parents. Hell is a place of extreme suffering. Hell is a place of memory and remorse. Hell is a place of unsatisfied desires. Hell is a place of contempt. It's a place of vile companionship. Hell is a place of hopelessness. Saints, we will learn in these messages how the Holy Spirit takes Bible characters to illustrate the three forms of temptation common to man. One, the lust of the flesh. Two, the lust of the eye. Three, the pride of life. For example, Esau, the devil used the lust of the flesh. With Achan, he used the lust of the eye. And with Absalom, he used the pride of life, David's son. Saints, to fail to heed the warnings of the Word of God, meaning eternal destruction. God is saying, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. To believe in him is to accept. He died for my sin. He took my rap. And when I take him in repentance and surrender, he wipes my sin away. Why? He paid for it. Only Christ can forgive your sin. Duke can't. Priest can't. Rabbi can't. The Pope can't. Only Christ. These are the modern statements that have taken not only our pulpits by a storm, but now the multitudes of Christians, or so-called Christians, have been led to believe that sin has either been legalized, renamed to now be a disease. Murder, sexual perversion, drug addiction, alcoholism, demon possession, all have a new name. And you better know the difference. I said, you better know the difference. What do you mean, Pastor? God has never sent a human being to hell because they were sick. But God will send one to hell for unrepented sin. When you make sin legal or you make sin a disease, you remove the penalty of a sin. God never let mankind change his will or his word. Take and change my word, God said. I'll blot your name out of the Lamb's book of life. They that their name was found in the book are the ones that will rule with him. Another question and statements made. If you die before you repent of a result of a known sin, before you repent of it, don't worry. The preacher said, you still go to heaven. We have in Pentecost today preachers in pulpits telling congregations, their congregation, that if you sin, it's not necessary for you to have to repent. Once was enough. That's in Pentecost, saints. Another question. What about suicide for a believer? One preacher said this, and I quote, we will not be judged for the last moment of our death. He said, the last thing you did before death does not matter. But it's the last thing, he said, that Jesus did before his death. That's more of a reason I better know what that means. If he died, that I don't have to commit suicide, then I better know how and how that works. I, God said, have made a way of escape. Nothing will overtake you but such as common to man. In other words, no sin, no temptation can take you out if you'll choose God's path and God's way of escape. Amen. Today, everyone goes to heaven. I personally have not heard of one person dying on the news, in our streets, no matter who or how they died. Not one of them died lost. They have all gone to heaven. Have you heard anything different? Whatever he or she was doing, partying, whatever it was, now they're partying in heaven. That's what they're told. Isn't it true? Even at their funeral, the preacher puts them in heaven. This means, saints, listen close. This means 100% who die go to heaven. Meaning there is no hell, or if there is, no one goes there. Am I right? I'm not some dinosaur shooting out into the dark. I'm telling you what you hear in every pulpit, every funeral, on your news today, tonight, and most of the Church of America. The word hell is not used, and if it is, it doesn't involve any of you. Isn't that true? Hell, what's that? We don't even mention it anymore in our pulpits or any other place. So, if someone does not risk it all and preach there is a heaven and there is a hell, then multitudes are going to continue to go to hell, not only from being lied to, but also because nobody told them. Millions are in hell this morning because nobody told them. Nobody told them there is a hell, and nobody told them how not to go there. To not tell the truth terrifies this preacher. To not tell the truth terrifies this preacher. Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, I persuade men. I know the wrath of God. I must persuade you with every fiber of my being. I know this ain't popular. It took me weeks to put this together. It took me hours of prayer. I said, God, do you want me to wait and start it with the new year with it? He said, no, start it Sunday morning. Hell, what's that? Truth is not always easy to preach or to receive. Not because it's not truth, but because the reaction is rarely accepted. Without a violent reaction or a rejection, and their response is, who are you to tell me? I know what I'm talking about. I had people jump up in a service, stormed out of here, and emailed me how evil I am to tell people that sin is sin and it'll damn your soul. They ripped me to shreds. I said, I owed it to them. I owed it to you. Get as mad as you want. Who are you to judge me? Who are you to think certain people will not go to heaven? God is love, preacher. So he has to accept everybody into his heaven. Why? Because he's love. What kind of a love would send a person to hell, preacher? Saints, these are the statements and the beliefs of most people today, church people included. I'm a maniac for even mentioning there's a hell, and millions are going there, and millions will still go there. Somebody better tell the truth. My God, preacher, tell the church. I want to share with you what I believe every human on this earth should hear, whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian. Listen close. I do not believe we talk about hell near enough in our pulpits. And because we don't, I believe it's led to the carelessness, the reckless living that has multitudes not ready for the coming of the Lord. I'm not preaching amiss. I'm preaching to you off of my knees. I'm telling you, some of you will miss it if you don't hear what the Spirit and the Word of God is saying to you. But you will not put a finger in my face. I love you too much. If everybody walked out, if everybody quit supporting and shut me down, I tell you, I will not back an inch. God has told me to preach this. I recently came across a book that had an interesting title. So I bought it. Had Darren find it for me online. The book was titled Hellbound Train by a preacher back in the 40s. In fact, he was a friend of Brother Clendenin's. He received a vision that literally changed his life, his ministry, until he took his last breath several years ago. He'd be well into 100 years old. While studying, he said, and praying one Saturday night, or one night, whatever it was, he said, I was suddenly aware of an evil presence in the room. It filled that room with fear. He said, I was afraid to look around, but he said, I knew somebody was standing behind me, Bible in hand, praying, talking to God. I knew something was standing behind me. He said, then someone said, standing behind him, you don't believe what you're reading in that book, do you? Why don't you throw it aside? Then the voice said, I have something I want to show you. Come. He said a scene filled the room that he would not forget the rest of his life. He said this vision started at night and it was daybreak when it come to an end. That's why it'll take me a while to preach it. He said, what I seen and what I experienced from the Word of God and the experience of it, he begins to see something we'll show you in a second. But he begins to see and interview people on a hellbound train. And when you hear the interview, like me, it'll change your life. It'll change how you think. Margaret, put it up there, please. He said, coming out of the distance was a long, very long, huge black locomotive. He said it was engulfed in waves of fire, smoke and steam, rushing through the pitch darkness at a furious speed. He said, I heard screams of people without hope, filled with terror and aware of their awful truth of where it was going, to a place of everlasting fire. Think about it. Where the worm dieth not and the eternal fire is not quenched. Are you hearing this, preacher? I'm on a rescue mission this morning. You must get serious about your walk and relationship with God. Very serious. The train, he said, roared to a stop in front of him. And a voice said, standing with him said, "Come, I want to show you some of my passengers." He said this guide was straight from hell. As he approached the train, he said, "I could hear the groans and the groaning and the crying coming from the train." "Come," the voice said, "you have nothing to fear. I want to show you how useless your book is that you put so much faith in." He said, all through the experience, the devil not one time called that book the Bible. Why? That Bible defeated him at Calvary. Hallelujah. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word hung on a cross and defeated devil, hell, and the Satan himself. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He's not about to call it the Bible. It's a book. "Come then." And then after you have seen, the voice said, "Judge for yourself if it be worth it." He said, "I walked into the first car." He said, "It was crowded as every eye turned toward him." He said, "I saw the anguish, the torment etched into each face." He said, "It seemed as though each one was pleading with me to help them escape this awful train." He said, "I wanted to free each one on that train from their chains that bound them." But he said, "The voice of my guide reminded me, it's too late for these wretched souls. There's no release. Their day of salvation is gone forever. All their tears, their prayers, their begging is to no avail as they rode the hellbound train." If I stood here for the next 3 weeks and begin to use people I've known in my lifetime, no doubt, are in hell, you might not believe me, and I might not be totally right. But I will use the Word of God to show you some interviews that'll shake you and your very foundation. God, don't let me miss this. Please hear your pastor. I told Darren, I don't want to push you this morning. I told my wife, I don't want to rush you. But I got to get to the first passenger before I close. He said, the voice said, I want you to meet some of the passengers on board. Said the satanic voice to him. Some that you are acquainted with by the reading of that book. He said, I looked at a man sitting in the first seat on that train. He said, he looked into my face and he cried with puffed lips, and blistered lips and puffed face. He said, I'm not my brother's keeper, am I? I'm not my brother's keeper, am I? Tell him, I'm not my brother's keeper. Did I realize this man is Cain? Genesis chapter 4, the story of the earth's first children, Cain and Abel, born of Adam and Eve, as they brought their sacrifice to God. You know the story. Abel offered unto God the lamb from the flock, spilling its blood before God, in type of that day when God's own Son would spill his precious blood for an eternal sacrifice for the sin of all mankind. But Cain, the Bible said, brought not to God the blood of offering, but he brought the works of his own hands. Pastor, don't you know what I do for Living Waters? You know my works. You know what I do. You know how many services I go to and don't miss. Cain brought his works of his own hands. And when God loved Abel's sacrifice and hated Cain's, he became jealous. And the Bible said Cain slew Abel. Saints, it's my prayer this morning. God, help us to bring to you the offering that you so desire. Let me tell you, your little Sunday morning for 30 minutes isn't going to get it. Your few minutes of walking past the presence of God, looking at a Bible once in a while, reading a verse once in a while, praying over your food if something has to remind you of such. Your intimacy and relationship is vulnerable at best. I pray this morning, God, let me bring to you an offering that you so desire. God, never let us be driven by the spirit of Cain, driven away from your presence to become a spiritual vagabond in this earth forever, to bear the mark of Cain. Cain was marked everywhere he went. They said, that's a murderer. That's a man. Got so angry and jealous of God and his brother, he killed him. Murder was in jealousy from the first day. First kids ever born. Conjuring his mind. How do I get rid of this brother? How do I destroy him? So the Bible said he rose up and slew him, murdered his own brother. Now he set not a train, saying, I'm not my brother's keeper, am I? I'm not my brother's keeper, am I? Saints, 6,000 almost years ago, and Jerry, he's still crying it. Hell is as real as heaven. The rich man went to hell. Lazarus, the beggar, went to heaven. You don't change where they're at. Forever and forever. The pleading of Cain as he screamed, I didn't realize that I'm my brother's keeper. Then Cain began to scream, Darren. He said, if only his blood would not cry out against me. If only his blood wouldn't cry out against me. I thought, God, how responsible I am. A shepherd, a watchman, a pastor. How responsible I am for the blood of the hearer. How responsible are we as dad, mom? How responsible am I? I'm my brother's keeper, Joe. And if their blood is crying out, and Cain said, if only he would stop crying out, His blood cried out. I come to the front aisle of Living Waters to tell you 300 million or so babies have been slaughtered. Their blood is crying out to God, and God is going to answer. Blasphemy in Leviticus. Blasphemy meant stoning. He stoned you to death. God in His wrath, in the great tribulation, when He pours out His wrath, He's not going to just stone blasphemy. He's going to drop 100-pound hail on it. You talk about stoning? We've made a joke out of church, God, religion, heaven, and hell. God said, if you've ever turned it up, son, it's now. If ever you see what's coming, it's now. You better pray, and I better pray. God, don't ever let me find myself here in the blood of one of my kids, one of my loved ones, one of the church members that I failed to tell that heaven's real, hell's real. There's a way to escape it. There's a way to gain heaven. There is a way to overcome. In this life, you can live a victorious, overcoming life. But to ignore the word, to never tell the people the truth, is to tell every one of them, your blood be on my hands when you meet me on this train. And when you get on that train, you're going to look for the preacher that lied to you. The Bible says, if we fail to tell men of the way to God, their blood would be required at our hand. But if we warn them of the judgment to come, He said He would not hold us accountable. Hellbound train. We've interviewed the first man that he come in contact with. The first words out of his mouth is what damned him. Am I my brother's keeper? Are you sure I am? I'm not, am I? 6,000 years later, he's still saying it. I'm not my brother's keeper, am I? He said, but could you help me? He said to that preacher, he's reaching for him. Can you help me? Can you help me? He said, the guide said, you can't help him. He's fixed. It's done. I've got him on this train. He belongs on this train. He said, how can you help me? He said, last thing, preacher, his blood won't quit crying. His blood is still crying. I thought of the hours that men of God have labored in prayer and intercession for a word from God. And on a Sunday morning, the church refused it, mocked it, stormed out, and went about their business. Many of them are on that train this morning. Many of them would love for me to interview them to warn you. I don't need their testimony. Cain's enough for me. Cain's enough for me. That if your blood is going to drip from these hands, shoot me, kill me, beat me, starve me to death, I will not back an inch. I must tell you, you are your brother's keeper. You are responsible for the blood of your husband, your wife, your kids. You're responsible. A hellbound train. He said, I begin to move on. The voice, the guide said, let's go to the next car. I'll save the next car for tonight. I have to end it right here by the Spirit of God. Cain is marked. Everywhere he went, that's a murderer. That's a jealous man. That's a man doomed to be on the first seat, first class seat of a hellbound train. I showed Darren this train. Marissa helped me try to put this together. And first thing he said, Dad, the wrong numbers are on the front of it. Put 666. I said, my God, how smart you are, kid. So we put that on there just for this message. Saints, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I don't take joy in preaching like this, but I will not take joy in standing at your funeral or knowing that you're on one of those trains someday and you're riding to your on your hellbound train, knowing the lake of fire is waiting for you. I will not shuck my responsibility. I know the preacher won't tell it. I know he won't preach it. He won't tell anybody the truth. And yet when they get on the back of that train, they're going to find out that that preacher's on there with them, and they're going to point their finger. They're going to scream and cry and moan and groan. You didn't tell me. You didn't tell me. I remember years ago, God told me to tell a young man, get in church. Don't miss another service. I said, God told me. He said, Pastor, you scared me this morning. I said, I pray I scared the hell out of you. I don't mean that in a vulgar way. I meant you're destined to go to hell, sir. I stood right here when I told him. I said, don't. You scared me, Pastor. I said, I hope so. Don't miss a service. He said, I'll see you tonight. Two Sundays later, he's in hell. If I had a microphone on that train, he'd tell you. He didn't scare me enough. He didn't scare me enough. In the middle of a message in a camp meeting, I spun around. I said, there's alcoholism going on in this platform. You're being drunk in the choir. God dealt with it openly because it had been going on a long time. When I did, the person rebelled beyond words. How dare you say it's me? I'm not drunk. I don't drink. I said, Holy Spirit, don't miss it. A week or two later, her husband brought her into church, literally carrying her. She's so drunk, intoxicated. She died a sudden death. I don't know if she had time to get right or not. If not, she's on that train. She'd say, you know, I'd give 1,000 years and 1,000 lessons, opportunities, 1,000 worlds, just to sit in that Living Waters church and let that preacher tell me, you can escape hell. You can go to heaven victorious over sin, self, and the devil. Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, I preach my heart. I know this is your heart. This is your will. I know you care so much that you would deal with every heart and every life. How serious you are. Religion is not the answer. A little stop by for God once in a while is not the answer. Hell is filled with such people. We will learn, God, through your own word, how many people interviewed on that train that once walked with you. Some prophesied. Some walked with the greatest men of God that ever wrote a sermon in that book. God, you know how important this message is to Living Waters and everyone that would hear what the Spirit and the Word of God saying. Am I my brother's keeper? His blood is crying out at me. My son's blood's crying out at me. Please stand to your feet. Please stand to your feet, saints. Mom, listen to this preacher. Listen to this preacher. Mom, when you told your husband he's too mean to those kids, he's being too hard on them about church and their relationship, and you told Dad that in front of those kids, This morning, those kids are not even in church. You, when you stop dad from being priest of that house, you put those kids' blood on your own head. Dad, when you stopped mama from enforcing the word of God in your life and in your home, be nice. Don't touch them. Don't say that to them. You got to love them. And you allowed that in that home until they become so deceived in their life of living. They're now waiting for a hellbound train. As they begin to play, coming home, Adrian, think about this for a second. This may be the last time this song will ever be sung again, Jackie. There's no reason to sing it when the church is gone. Did you hear me? Coming home. I take very serious this. It terrifies me to think you would slip through the hands of this preacher. Every waking moment of the night is worth it if you make heaven your home for Duke Downs. As they begin to sing, is there anybody that feels their need to get right with God this morning?